Praise the Lord. And we trust that that will be the case for each and every one who make it on the other side. We can sing it, can't we? Amen. Fine job this morning, as usual. And we appreciate that so very, very much. Heaven's on the other side. Anybody here want to go to heaven? That's possible. Yes, sir. It's possible. But there's only one way to get there. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. That's in your Bible. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He maketh intercession for us human beings on planet Earth. And then verse 7 of the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. But that's not the conclusion. But after this, the judgment, after our sojourn here on planet Earth, there's going to be a judgment. The question comes, are you prepared for the judgment? Are you making your calling and election sure? Are you sure that you're saved? And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, it's the after this that we get ready for. The after this, and we do that here. After we leave here, there is no getting ready. Make your calling an election sure. Amen. Our Bible says that there is just what? One Lord. There is just one faith and just one baptism. And we see a faith here and a faith there. Everywhere faith. That means we all need to study our Bibles so that we will be able to know the one faith when we hear it and see it in action. Second Kings in your Bible. That's somewhere in the Old Testament. Second Kings. Chapter 6. Second Kings, chapter 6. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now the place where we dwell with thee is too narrow or too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take there every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered and said, go ahead or go ye. And one said, but hold on, be content, I pray thee, teacher, and go with thy servants. I want you to go with us. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. The sons of Elisha, behold now the place where we are dwelling, a school, place where we are being taught. It's too narrow, it's too small for us. Let us go. Let us go. Not just a few. And take every man a beam so that us will be capable of making a contribution. Not just a few. And let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And the teacher agreed. He said, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down some wood to take with them to do the building. Wondrous and marvelous. Spiritual principles are wrapped up in what we have just read. The sequence of events makes sense for those who are spiritually perceptive. This text that we read this morning, it goes beyond or transcends space and time. It's applicable to us even in this century. Therefore, let us allow the text to manifest itself, that we may be edified and effectively apply the principles that we have just read about. By so doing, we will be able to harness the grace, the mercy, and the power of our God and receive the prosperity that only our God can give us. We are sons and daughters of God. We are God's chosen. We are God's elect. Let us remember who we are. And more importantly, whose we are. Progress. Progress beyond our wildest dreams. Naysayers, you can't do that. You can't do this. The text will show that if we be receptive of the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, we will be a force to be reckoned with. Did you hear me, church? If we will apply the principles of this text, as I shall expound them unto all of us, we will all be abundantly blessed, including our children and this community. And most of all, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be able to take its rightful place in this society and in this city. To really, really appreciate what God is doing and what is happening here. Let me give you a little background. The name of the prophet and the text, two of them, almost sound alike, Elisha and Elijah. Elijah, J. Elisha, he is the successor of another prophet named Elijah. Elijah, J-A-H, is most prominent in 1 Kings. In 2 Kings, Elisha is most prominent. Elisha is the administrator and the teacher of the school of the prophets. He taught and performed some miracles, proving that he was indeed a God man. And Elijah's ministry was coming to a close. But he had someone to take his place. Elisha made an unusual request to the teacher or to the mentor. He asked the Lord to bless him because he had seen his predecessor, how God had blessed him. He says, I want a double portion of what you gave him. Before he departs life. That's in your Bible in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 14. And also read verse 9. His request was not one of selfishness. He didn't ask this blessing for himself. He asked that blessing because he wanted to be a more useful servant to his God. It was customary for a father to give his oldest son the greater portion of his wealth. This let everyone know who the older son is and who would be taking over what father has been doing. I will be the one that's held accountable and responsible. Elisha did not want any confusion after Elijah passed away. There were a lot of prophets, a whole school of prophets. And he wanted it to be clear who's going to lead the program now. Making sure that there would be no confusion, no problems regarding succession after Elijah passed. Give me a double portion, Lord, as I take this responsibility. But not only that, Elisha had witnessed firsthand the kind of issues and the kind of problems that Elijah had to deal with. And he felt like he needed a little bit more wisdom. I know he's about to leave because of his age. He's about to be taken by the Father. And I, based upon my history with him, I know I'm going to need a little bit more help. Because he is a very wise man. Let us look through the telescope of time for just a few minutes. Elisha, as I contemplate the school of the prophets, as I contemplate the future of the school of the prophets and where we need to go and what we need to do, I know that I'm going to need a little bit more than what my predecessor needed. I want to do and I want it to be the very, very best and very, very pleasing to the God whom we serve. I tell you this morning, I can understand more and more why the Lord told the apostles to wait until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're going to need it to go and do the job that I'm leaving you to do. You're going to need a little bit more than I've already given to you. Why? Because time practice activities are going to change. Right now, we are going through a tremendous change in America. The enemies of God are fighting against certain principles that God has put in motion from the very first creation in Genesis chapter 1. God made a man. Then he decided, he said, let us make him a suitable helper. God didn't make another one just like him. You got a lot of company there, but that's about it. But we have people in America fighting hard to say let folk get together with who they want to get together, and let us see them and offer them the same privileges. If it's man, man, woman, woman, they get the same privilege as man, woman relationship. I can see that. This prophet says, I'm going to have some problems to deal with. So I'm going to need a little bit more wisdom, God. So please help me. Elisha was very effective in teaching in God's house by the power invested in him. Because he had received the double portion of God's power, it affected his ministry, blessed his ministry, and he did some wonderful, wonderful works. Whenever God's power is present, are you listening, Sandy Lane? Whenever and wherever God's power is present, there will always be a manifestation of the presence of God in this issue. If God's power is in a place, change can take place. It appears that God's power is in this place. No. It appears from my limited post of observation that God's power is in this place. This brings us, because of what has been done, because of what is being done, this brings us to the place where we are dwelling and trying to get everyone to see, understand, realize, and help push the wagon to the goal that we need to meet. You don't hear me this morning. The place where we were meeting became too small. Just like here in the text. Now, right now, and now is what part of speech is now? You forgot? Now is an adverb. Now is an adverb of time. Looked like one of the brothers checking with his wife, who's a school teacher. Right now, this adverb of time, what we used to do was good. Where we used to meet was good. But now, we have witnessed the power of God. We are now in our ministry, prospering in our ministry. Thank God for that. And since we have received the power of God and His prosperity, what used to be, watch this now. What I wrote is, what used to be is not good. It's not good enough anymore. Now, in case you don't understand that, what used to be ain't good enough no more. We are called to be bigger, to be better, and to do bigger and be better by the power and the prosperity of our God whom we serve. He's a big God. Look how big He made the world. Nobody has to try to make a submarine that'll let them sleep underground. There's land here and a land there and a land over yonder for people. We are called, let me do that again. We are called to be bigger, better, by the power and the prosperity of God. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying big things are happening. And God has blessed us to be a part of and some of the power behind the big things that are happening. Growing spiritually, growing numerically by the grace and by the power of God. Big things are happening. Behold, now the place where we used to meet, taint. Big enough. It's not straight enough. What we used to do was adequate. It brought us to where we are. You could get another sermon for this, another time, title for this sermon, Marching On. But now we must think bigger, do bigger, be better, and do better by the power and the prosperity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of change. The only thing that does not change is the Word of God. It references the quality of Elisha's ministry. Take note. Elisha is not the one making the recommendation. Elisha is not the one making the recommendation. The recommendation is the result of Elijah's request. You say we moving too fast? No. No. Where we dwell now, it's too narrow, it's too straight for us there. They are not saying, Elisha, we know more than you know. We're smarter than you are. Are more advanced than you are. They are really saying, the place where we sit at your feet, we know why we are being blessed. We know why we are blessed. Because we know that it's the Lord's church, and we are simply blessed to be a part of the Lord's church in this geographical location at this particular time. For such a time as this, God put us here. God put us with the mindset there. Everybody didn't have that mindset. But those with the right spirit of God saw the need. We know why we are being blessed. We know what we have, what has been instilled in us through the years. based upon the Word of God. We recognize and respect the way God has used each and every one of us. We thank God for the progress that we are making spiritually, numerically, physically. We are not getting out of our lane, but we're moving on at a little faster speed in our lane. The place where we dwelled was a little bit too straight. We recognize the fact that God has given us a vision. Us, His people. And because we have been sitting at His feet, because we expect the authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the place where we dwelled was too straight for us. You say, why are you preaching that, brother, now, brother? Because we're moving on. That's right. We came, did, settled. Now it's time to move on. Move forward. He didn't bring us to this place, to this point, to stop us, to say that's enough. I'm God. I'm in charge of a whole universe and everything everywhere. That's who we serve. So we have wisdom. We recognize the fact that God has given us a vision, His people. And because we have been sitting at His feet, because we respect His authority, the place where we dwelled with our Lord was too straight for us. We know that we are prospering because of the power and the vision that God has invested in us. And as a result, we all, not just one or two, have received God's power. And if we didn't have that power, He has given it to us, and He didn't plan to give it to us, He wouldn't have brought us here. Do we understand who we are? Do we understand whom we serve? Do we understand the kind of God that has everything, owns everything, is everywhere all the time? Yes, sir. I can do all things. I want the Christians of this church to understand that our resolve, we can do all things. Not by our power. It is God who has brought us through. It is God who has brought us to this particular point. He is God who has blessed us to have sense enough to hold on and keep marching doggedly on in the pathway of duty. I didn't bring you here to leave you. Oh, church. We all have received God's power, and now all of us are prospering spiritually. It is now becoming increasingly difficult, this new teacher said, for us to do the work effectively where we are. In order for us to continue working effectively in the kingdom of God, he said, its place is too straight. We must move on to bigger things. Change our mindset. Realize who's leading the bandwagon. Orders from headquarters. Too small. If God continues, let me rephrase that. I put the wrong word on there. When and as God continues to bless us, as He always has always done, we need not worry. We need not fearful. We're doing kingdom business. This is not your church, not my church, it's his church. One day we're going to leave this congregation into the other world. We're not going to live here forever. But we're making plans for bigger things, for whoever comes after us. We just thank God for using us to bring about the transition. Yeah. Thank you, God, for blessing us to be a part of this vision. As God continues to do what he has always done, we need not worry. And this writer says, let's go. Not only do we need a bigger building, we need a new bigger building in a bigger place. Oh, you don't hear it this morning. Let us go, I pray thee, to Jordan and take there every man a being. Everybody be a part of the endeavor. And let us make a place that we may dwell and do kingdom business. Not 10% of us. Not 30% of us. But of the entire congregation. Let us. You know who the us include? Let me rephrase that. Do you know the us that God includes? Now you can act strange and funny if you choose. But you're gonna, if you don't change, you're gonna have to face that odd and change and strange action at the final roundup of human affairs. Why didn't you make a contribution to my house? Why didn't you make a contribution to the encouragement of the effort? Oh, church. Amen. Thank God for you. If everyone received the same word, the same spirit, we will all hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. Ooh, ooh. Mm-hmm. I think you have the message. And I have two more pages. But I want to speak to two. I want to use those two more pages for folk who are alert and awake. Peace out. Peace, peace, peace. Church, brothers and sisters, if you don't have the mindset, let me encourage you to rethink your thoughts. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We read the Old Testament. We preach sermons on how God went down to Egypt and his people have been slaves. And God says to Moses, a man who can't talk plain, so he says, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt. I'm going to bring my people out of there. We're talking about thousands of people. We're not talking about 500. They're slaves down there. I want you to go down and tell that king Pharaoh to let him go. Well, God, Moses, well, yes, you are. Well, I don't talk too plain. He said, your brother's coming. See him? He's right over yonder. He's coming to meet you. So he talks pretty plain. I'll tell you, and you be God for him. So he ran out of excuses. Let us not tell God what he can do. Let us just thank him for what he has shown us. That's God speaking to us. He has shown us this. He has shown us that. What do you mean that? Certain number for the auditorium. He's got some folk here. There are a lot more people in this city that he wants to hear his word, believe it, receive it, and obey it. He has blessed us to assist him in that endeavor. Now that's the way I see this. Not my project, not your project. It's us's. It's the Lord's project. And he's simply using us. To build his project. That's shouting time. That's hallelujah time. There they go asking for money again. What else? When you do certain things at your place of business, your place of employment, and they say, well, we pay every 2 weeks. And the first month they pay you, 2 weeks went by. See your check. 2 more weeks went by. Here your check. Next month come in. 2 weeks. No check. Well, why are you upset? Are you all following this? I want you to transition that in a spiritual way. We're not just ordinary people on planet Earth. We are people who are endeavoring to make heaven our eternal home of abode. We are preparing to go and live with God forever. We are endeavoring by his grace and power to live on planet Earth in such a way that he will be well pleased to say, come you blessed. And be a part of my house. Isn't that what we all want to hear? Let's understand who we are. We are sons and daughters of God. There's no such thing as, if it's for God, there's no such thing as we can't do that. We may not be able to do this right now, but we can do it. Let's start. What is it called? 20 million. Well, let's start. We are God's children. Thank God for you. I had to get that out. Because too many people don't realize what a blessing it is to have the glorious privilege of knowing God and God knowing us in a loving way. There are millions of people who are worshiping in churches today. And Jesus didn't establish but one church. He established one church. That's it. But people believe that they're saved because they don't study the Bible for themselves. It's one of the greatest reasons. Study the Bible for yourself. Don't get angry. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you hear me making these statements. I'm making these statements because they're written in your Bible if you have one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. In your Bible. The apostles, 12 of them, chose by Jesus. One betrayed him. In Acts chapter 1, another one was brought in to take Judas's place. So they still have 12. And when the day of Pentecost was come, they had 12 men preaching the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all he chose. 12 men, and I want the whole world, whatever size it was at that time, he says, I want the whole world. For those of you who are still awake with me, God still wants the same thing. He wants us to be active in being a part of the family. Living the way we should be living, and also sharing his good news with others so that they will have the same glorious privilege of living where the streets of gold and glory with the Father. You're here. Are you a member of the Church of the Bible? Are you a member of the Church of the Bible? One Lord, one faith. So the only all the 12 apostles taught the same thing everywhere. Same thing. Established the same church everywhere through the preaching of what we read about in the Bible. Are you a member of the Lord's church? Have you been added to the Lord's church? That's your call. But here's the way it's done. You've heard the word of God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God? Are you willing to be godly sorrowful for the sinful life that you have lived to this point? Are you willing to confess that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God and to be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed? You know what happens then? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. God adds you. You see, you can't join the Church of Christ. You are added. You know, when a family have a little baby, they don't say he joined the family. He was added to the family. Or she was added to the family. If you don't believe it, you ask that brother right there. He adds us to his family, his spiritual family, the Church of Christ. He will now hear your prayers. You can now talk to him. And he hears you. You see, I've been talking to him all along. Talking to me and me hearing you is two different things. The privilege, the opportunity is yours. We are praying and prayerful that you will make a decision that will please God. The water is ready. The garments are ready. The baptizer is ready. The only question mark, is you. And perhaps you're already a member of the body of Christ, but you have been a useless servant. Come on home. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. And spend the rest of your days glorifying him, doing that which makes him look good and his church look good. Your decision. Now it's your time. I've used mine. May God bless you to use yours wisely as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood?